I want you to get your Bibles and turn to 1 John chapter 2 tonight. 1 John chapter number 2. This is lesson number 22, 1 John chapter 2. And we're going to discuss lesson number 22. You'll be intrigued a little by the title. I'll give you the title after we read some scripture together. 1 John chapter 2, once you find it, find verse number 18. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Then stand with me if you would please. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 18. And somebody help me remember, at the end of the hour, we'll see if anybody has faith promise cards that they want to turn in. Here we go. 1 John chapter 2, starting with verse number 18, the Bible says this: "Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest, that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth." And let's pray. Father, bless us now. Bless the lesson. We will be extremely, extremely practical tonight, but that practicality, I think, will influence our church this week, but for many, many weeks and probably years to come as we remember the principles and the teaching of tonight. Holy Spirit of God, control my voice and my thinking. May the people's perceptions be controlled by your Spirit. Help us to add life to the revival of our church tonight. And God, might we help someone to be faithful for a long, long time because of something that's said this evening, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat there. The lesson tonight is the first of a couple of lessons on the very same subject, and it's called Your Relationship with People Who Leave Our Church. Your Relationship with People Who Leave Our Church. I'm going to read to you again a verse in 1 John chapter 2, verse 19. It says, "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us." 1 John 2:19 primarily is speaking to or about the lost, but it is very possible that it could be speaking to even saved people, at least the concept that's being taught here. So it's talking about people that leave. And I think there are lost people that leave a church, and I think there are saved people that leave a church. Now, there's another scripture that I want to share with you, and it's about a man named Demas. Let me read to you from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 10. The Bible says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia." Now, the Bible tells us that Demas forsook Paul because he loved the world. He loved the world so much that he left Paul, the man of God, and their church helping ministry. Now, I want to talk to you for a little while about the subject of your relationship with people who leave our church. You know, there are people that will leave a church for a good reason. You need to know that. There are people that will leave a church like ours and they'll go off to Bible college. And that's a good thing. Nothing wrong with that. There are people that would leave a church like ours if they join the military. I'm not against going to the military. It's not my first choice for most people, but it happens. There are people that would leave a church like ours very possibly that would go into the full-time ministry. They may go pastor somewhere. Brother Dean Francini did that very thing. Maybe someday God will call someone to the mission field, and then they'll leave our church to go to the mission field. So not everybody that leaves a church leaves it for a bad reason. Oh, I'll give you another reason. There are times when ministries change. I'll recommend this to you. If this ministry changes in certain ways, you ought to leave this ministry. You say, well, what would you be talking about? If the day comes when we no longer uphold the purity of the King James Bible, I think you ought to pack your duds and head out. That's how strongly I believe. If anybody brings you any other Bible and tries to convince you that that Bible is the Word of God, they're wrong, even if it's me, because the purity, the inspiration, preservation of the King James Bible is a big deal. And so the ministries change. That people, if they change Bibles, sometimes they'll just give up on all their separation standards. And I would not raise my family in a church that did not have standards. Now, some of you would. You're able to tolerate me and the standards that we have here, but I couldn't tolerate being somewhere where they didn't have any. I would not raise my family in that atmosphere. You take their music. There are a lot of churches out there that used to have old-time gospel music, and now they're into the contemporary music and the Christian rock music, and they've got one music for their young people and another for the adult, or the old codgers, if you will. Well, around here, we have the same music for our children as we have for our teenagers that we have for the adults, and it's all gospel music, and it's old-time gospel music, and it's not contemporary, and it's not rock and roll. Now, there's some of you you really don't believe that way. Now, you can tolerate me, but I couldn't go somewhere where the church had contemporary music and rock and roll music, and I would not stay in a church like that. And if this church ever changes, what I'd do if I were you is I'd go find you a preacher with a backbone that'll stand up and tell people the old time religion is still right, and the Bible is still, the King James Bible is still the Word of God, and ladies are supposed to be ladies, and men are supposed to be men, and there's to be a difference, and there's to be standards in the church. I think there are times when people can leave a church for a good reason, off to Bible college, if the military required it. They go to pastor, they go to be a missionary. The ministry changes to where it has actually left the old-time religion and now is going in a new toward a new trend. And I think every once in a while people will leave a church, and probably justifiably, when there is so much evil present in a church that you just about can't live with it. There's a difference in sin and evil. Evil's when people are just destructive toward one another and out to hurt people. Sin is when I do something dumb that hurts me. Evil's when I'm doing something dumb and trying to get other people to help me do something dumb to hurt you and to hurt others. Evil is a very hard thing to live with, especially in a church. Now, this thing of people getting upset and leaving churches is nothing new. You all do know that, right? It's not new, but you won't hear a lot of people teach on it or talk about it. It doesn't bother me at all. You know, I've studied. I've been preaching for a long time, and I feel very comfortable talking about it. I think I can help us with it. And I need you to know this. This sermon, first of all, it's not an attack on anyone who has ever left anywhere. Here's a good thing. I don't know of anybody that's getting ready to leave our church. And so I've got a unified group, and we have an excellent spirit around our church, and I don't know of anybody that's leaving. Do you know what? The best time to teach something like this is when you don't have anybody leaving. That way they don't think you're taking a shot at them or something like that. But do you know how hard it is to find that pocket of time? That's not always an easy window. Any of you hunters? I'm a bow hunter, and there's a window of opportunity when you're bow hunting, and it's not a long, long time. I mean, that deer turns around right where you can get that right shot. You better know how to let go of that arrow and make it fly. But the truth is, I've got a great window here. I could have taught this at any time, I think, in the last couple of years. But I want us to know how to behave toward people that would leave our church. I've said this to people. I've said they're at a church and they're having a terrible struggle there of some sort. I'd say to them, if you can't stay there and be loyal and become what that church is, you need to quietly leave, take no one with you, but don't you cause a mess on your way out. I want to help people. I want to help churches, and I really want to help our church. I am what I teach tonight. It's preventative maintenance. We're not trying to fix anything that's broken. We just don't want things to break. So I think our church has an excellent spirit. I think our church is, we do well with our behavior toward one another. There are many stories in the Bible teaching us about the loss of people. Luke chapter 15, you have the story of the prodigal son. You do realize he not only left home, he left his home church too, right? And so there's a loss. There's the story in Luke chapter 15, verse number 4, about the lost sheep, which was a comparison. You know what you and I are. We're sheep. And there was a lost sheep. And that sheep had left the fold. And there was a right and a wrong way to handle that. You realize that at the cross, when Jesus was in the worst situation he had been in 33 and a half years, he only had four people left that stuck with him. You went to the cross where he was dying. There are only four. I'm going to guess there was a little forsaking that took place prior to then when there were only four people left at the cross. I'll read to you from Galatians chapter 6, verse number 1. The Bible says this, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." I want you to know, I am very much so a restorer of people. I want to restore people. That there'll come a day when somebody in here, you could probably get irritated with me because I want to be the last one to give up on somebody. I just want to hang on to that thread of hope all the way to the end that they could be salvaged, they could be reached, and they could be helped. And it talks here about restoring. It talks here about doing it with meekness. But notice here, folks, it said, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Now, you do understand there would be no restoring necessary unless somebody had not left their place. In that verse, somebody had left, they had gone out, and they need to be restored, so they need to be brought back in, but somebody left. Now, what God is saying there, he said this to you. He said, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You see, in an attempt to restore someone that's left, don't let the devil deceive you into self-destructing. You know, let's say somebody leaves a church and they got a bad attitude, and you try to go restore them. If you're not careful, you'll one bad attitude and it can turn into two bad attitudes. And now we got to go restore two people instead of just the one that we lost. You must consider yourself if you try to restore, because their bad attitude may pull you down, and they won't be the only one out of the church. They won't be the only family out of the church. Now the two of you are having church over at the Waffle House on Sunday morning, justifying the fact that you can't get along with somebody down at the local New Testament church. And that happens. Not at the Waffle House, at least. It's not really the Waffle House. It's called the Awful House, but... Sometimes we need to be friendly toward people, but not best friends with people. That happens. And that, if you listen to what I said, you're to be friendly to people, but not all the time are you to be best friends with people. Everybody here, we should all fear getting out of God's will and leaving our church. And let me explain something to you. Here's I believe the New Testament church, and some of you, if you listen to what I say, you won't have a hard time figuring out what I believe. I believe very strongly in the local New Testament Baptist church. Very strongly. And if I were you, I would not yoke up with this local New Testament Baptist church unless you believe very strongly in the local New Testament Baptist church. I think you're supposed to get saved, get baptized, join the church, and then you serve in that local New Testament church and you become a part of a family. And we ought to all fear getting out of God's will by leaving the church that God has led us to. That ought to be a fear of ours. Be careful, you'll destroy your children. Be careful, you'll destroy your ministry. Be careful, you'll destroy your marriage. Be careful, you could destroy your testimony. When you find a church that, first of all, you say, well, I like the pastor. I'll be very honest with you. I don't know that you're supposed to pick a church because you like the pastor. I think you pick a church based on the doctrine that is taught, the purity of the scripture that is taught. You say, well, Brother Owens, I really like you. Well, I'm glad of that, and I would like for you to like me, but I hope you like the Bible more than you like me. Because if the only reason you're here is because you like me, if I have a bad day, you're going to turn into my enemy, and you're going to track out of here with your tail between your legs, or your horns come out like the devil, and you'll cause grief. So it's not a I like. It's what's right, and you let what's right decide where you go to church. But be careful, because we all ought to fear getting out of that family that is called the local New Testament church. Now, I call the sermon your relationship with people who leave our church. Because we all have inquiring minds, you don't have to worry. I've already said this. I know of no one, zero, that's leaving our church. None. Matter of fact, you'd struggle to think of a name or two who has. You say, well, I remember this one. Yeah, it's been a long time ago. There are some churches, they need to rename their church the Revolving Door Baptist Church, because they come and they go, and they come and they go, and they come and they go. The reason why we're growing is because they come and they stay, and they come and they stay, and they come and they stay, and they come and they stay. But they will come and go. It will happen. It's going to happen. Right now, we're on the come and stay trend, which is a great time for me to teach you what do you do if they come and they go. And I'm going to show you some very practical things. Let me say this. The first thing I want to say is, when somebody leaves, you need to remember, you do not know the whole story. You do not know the whole story. Most people know very little about the story. And did you know that there are two sides to every story? And here's where you'll struggle. They may tell you their side, but I don't go around talking about people and everybody's side of everything. Any of you known me for any time, there are people that take all sorts of shots at me, but I don't take shots back. You say, why? My dad told me to be bigger than that. My dad said, you don't hit someone just because they hit you. You don't pull people's hair because they pulled yours. You don't cuss someone because they cuss you. So my dad told me, if you were a mature man, you don't hit back all the time. Sometimes you just take a hit. So I want you to remember something. Somebody leaves, you don't know the whole story. Most know very little of the story. Most will, and the best will usually do, is only hear one half of the story. Theirs. Because they'll talk freely. Now, next, let me say this. I don't want anybody to ever go. I'm a keeper. Some people want to be in the Fox's Book of Martyrs. I want to be in the Guinness World Book of Records. I'm a keeper. I want to keep them. Maybe sometimes there are people that need to go if they plan to cause disunity or sow discord among the brethren. But I'll tell you this, I don't want anyone to go. I like keeping people. Let me read you a couple verses. The Bible says in Proverbs 6:14, frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. Now, something you need to understand. I don't want anybody to go, but every once in a while, God will tell you that if someone is sowing discord among the brethren, God may want them to go. And that's God's call. Did you know there's some people that say, God is love and that's all he does? I'm sorry, that's not true. That's not all God does. God hates some things. Let me read to you from Proverbs 6:19. It says, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. The words right before that, it says, these six things doth the Lord hate, or doth God hate. God hates it when people sow discord among the brethren. And that means when you cause disunity among God's people. So maybe some according to God need to go. But not because we want them to go, but because they force themselves into it due to their negative influence on God's church. And then God says, you're hurting the church, and so the distancing from the church may be better for the church. But I try not to make that call. So you won't find me going to someone and saying, get out of here, and I don't take a big stick and swat people over the top of the head. But God has a way of purging. But remember, you don't know the whole story. And so you know, I don't want anybody to go. I like for people to stay. Next, realize the real enemy is the devil. The real enemy is the devil. So somebody leaves our church, and let's say they become mean toward our church, and I don't want that to happen. I don't think it's going to happen, but let's say it does happen. This thing you've got to remember when somebody leaves the church is that the real enemy is the devil. If they're being mean toward us, that's because the devil's influenced them to be mean, and do you know what? The devil's abusing them. He's hurting them too. He's messing them up while they're being mean toward your church. But you got to remember, the devil's the real enemy. Okay, so remember, you don't know the whole story. Secondly, as a pastor, I don't want anybody to go. Thirdly, realize the real enemy is the devil. He hurts us while he's hurting them. And you all do realize the devil has deceived many people through the years and used them as a tool to hurt the church. So this is just another person that he has figured out how to get in their crawl. And you need to be careful that doesn't become you. That the devil doesn't get in your crawl. And before long, you're an enemy of the church. And matter, most of them think they're doing God a service. I'm mad at that church and I'm doing God a favor. They're just blind to it. They're very blind to it. Next. I'm going to say this. I have never been rude to anyone I was pastoring as they were leaving. Ever. I've had people leave me on good terms. I've had people leave me on bad terms. But I think pretty much so the record stands. If they've left me and they were on bad terms with me, I was not on bad terms with them. I loved them coming in. I'm going to love them going out. I tried to be kind to them coming in. I'll be kind to them going out. And again, that's because the Bible says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. And that may not seem like a big deal to you, and I think you would require that of me. But could I recommend to you that you're good to people on their way out? They're going to leave, and they're mad. Okay, then let them be the mad one that leaves, and let them toss and turn at night. But you have a good Christian attitude, and you don't have to toss and turn at night. Now, there are pastors that do it far differently. You leave their church and they get up in the pulpit and call your name and they call you a dirty Ron Lowdown, scum of the earth, dog-faced, stupid boy. And then they preach sermons. You're not even there. And they're preaching sermons on you for 5 weeks to come and it's all about war. And you know what? I am not going to waste my time on that. If somebody leaves me and they're gone, I'm just going to go find somebody else to love. Okay, here's what I've said so far. Remember, you don't know the whole story. Secondly, I personally don't want anyone to go. Sometimes God may weed things out a little bit, but that's up to God to do. Thirdly, realize the real enemy is the devil. Then, I have never been rude to anyone leaving. We're to be kind to people when they're leaving. Next, don't spread it when they leave on bad terms. Don't spread it. Here's what can happen. Our loyalties to our church get our emotions involved and we get mad and somebody left. So here's what you could do. Somebody left and they were mad at me. Let's say that, Mrs. Owens leaves the church. And when she's leaving, she cussed me as she was leaving. Okay. So you're loyal. So you go around the church saying, I'm so mad at that Mrs. Owen. She cussed the preacher on her way out. I would not recommend you spread the news that someone left on bad terms. You say, I'm loyal. You might be a gossip and you also might be talking too much. And you also might be making it worse than what it needs to be. You say, but they cussed you. You know what? I can take it. I'll be okay. Don't mess up the spirit of my church while you're trying to express your loyalty. Well, I'm so loyal, preacher, I'm going to bust him in the head. Well, that's a really good testimony. You'll never be a deacon for me because the Bible says you can't be a striker or a brawler because God expected the leadership of the church to control themselves. So, somebody leaves on bad terms, you don't have to spread it. You say, well, why wouldn't we want to let everybody know? Because your pastor is probably going to try to reach them and get them back. But if you turn everybody on the church against them, my chance of getting them back is very small. So, but if they come back and they cuss you on the way out, well, are they going to be okay? Look, anything they say about me is better than the truth. I'm just a dirty, rotten, low-down, good-for-nothing sinner that's saved by grace. And if you want to hear something bad about me, come talk to me. I can tell you the truth about what's wrong with me. I'll be okay. So will you. So if somebody leaves the church and they do it in a negative way, be careful. We don't want to spread that negative all over the place. Hey, let me ask you a question, by the way. When was the last time you made a series of phone calls or got on Facebook and told someone the name of the family that came and joined the church today? We'll spread the name of the one that left, won't we? You hear about old Tonto? If you're really spiritual, I'd like to see your log of the names of the people that you've spread around the nation about who joined the church today. Or are you basically a negative person? Do you know what happens? People get contrary with the church or the Lord, and if you handle it right, they can save face and they can get right with God easier. That's why when people fall, I don't want you going around telling everybody everything that they did. You say, why? I happen to love them. I happen to know the devil got the best of them. I'd like to restore their life. But look, if you go to everybody and tell everybody everything that they did, they're going to have a hard time walking in that back door because everybody knows everything that they did and you've gossiped about it. Now you've made it very almost difficult in their thinking for them to face everybody. Boy, some of you have been around me for a long time. You'll watch them leave and you watch them come back. You say, well, they came back. That's because there was a path made clear for them to come back. Don't spread it when they leave on bad terms. Next, when others want to talk to you about the ones that left on bad terms, this is what you do. You say, remember what Pastor said? We just should not be talking about it. And then you do this. You go. You smile really big. Remember, Pastor said we shouldn't be talking about it. Okay, texting, smile emoji. Facebook, you can put a big smile on there. Sometimes we make it so people can't come back. Well, I don't know if I want fallen people like that in the church. Well, you're in. We accepted you. So, what are we talking about? Our relationship with people that leave the church. Remember, you don't know the whole story. Next, as a pastor, I don't want anyone to go. Thirdly, realize our real enemy and their real enemy is the devil. Next, don't be rude to people as they're leaving. Next, don't spread when people leave on bad terms. You'll make it impossible for them to feel like they can come back. Remember, next, when people then want to talk about it, you just politely say, remember, preacher, just ask us not to discuss this. Next, don't believe everything you hear. Don't believe everything you hear. You say, but it was on the internet. Well, that makes it true then, doesn't it? I'll tell you when you will feel very strongly about not believing everything you hear. It's when it's about you. But you don't have to believe everything you hear. You know, in America, you used to be innocent until proven guilty beyond any shadow of a doubt. Here's what's happened to the justice system and the attitude in America. You are now guilty until proven innocent. And if you're a Christian, you're thinking wrong if you have adopted our society's way of thinking about people. Number next, if you have questions about someone that is leaving and you feel like they're leaving on bad terms, don't go ask everybody else. Come ask me. Come ask me. There's nobody under the sound of my voice that I've ever been unkind to you. There's nobody under the sound of my voice that I've ever yelled at you. Now, I'm not afraid to tell you the truth. I'll do it kindly. I'll do it gently. But let me tell you something. If you feel like somebody is leaving the church and it's on bad terms and you just have questions, you don't need to go ask everybody in the church about it. You don't need to get on Facebook about it. You don't need to tweet. Is it tweeting, tweeting, Twitter, whatever that is. You don't need to email. You don't need to text. My office, and if you all would like, I can show you exactly where my office is. Well, you just go through the old auditorium, and there's a door on that end. You turn left and go down a long hallway. Mine is the only one that has my nameplate on it. You just come right there, and we can talk about it. If you won't do that, I think you've probably got some bad intention going along somewhere, because I'd be glad to talk to you about it if you feel like it's your business. You say, how do I know if it's my business or not? Here's what you do. Ask God to tell you if He wants you to know. Ask God Himself to tell you if He wants you to know. Let's see what He tells you about it. Well, God, don't tell me anything about that. It might not be your business then. See, you say why. Here's why. Your inquiries can become gossip. Because you don't know what somebody else is about to tell you is the facts. They heard it from their wife. Who heard it from somebody else's wife? Who heard it probably from some feminine man who talks too much? Those do exist today. So, if you have a question, if someday somebody's going to leave and you feel like it's negative and you have a question, you feel like you need to know, then if you'll come see me, I promise you, I'll tell you the truth. That is, if it's your business. And it might not be your business. Let's go on. Next. Pray for people who leave, but do not spread it as a prayer request. Pray for them. Yeah. We have a men's prayer breakfast the very first Saturday of every month. But in those prayer times, here on Wednesday night, we take prayer requests. I will never allow those prayer requests to become gossip requests. That's why sometimes we have unspoken requests. You say, why? Because there are some things that do not need to be brought up publicly because it would hurt the person that you're about to pray for. Pray for old Joe. You know, he's got that drinking problem. He's back at it. You're a gossip. You ought to shut your mouth. You're destroying people. And by the way, you say, well, I didn't mean it that way, then you're dumb. You might not want to talk until you brighten up a little bit. If you didn't intend it to be evil, then you're not real smart. Prayer requests, there are times when they ought to be kept very private. There are some times that people have certain illnesses that wouldn't, there are people that would rather that not be brought up publicly. Well, look, if someone is sick spiritually in a certain way, I would think that there's more propriety for the spiritual than there is for the physical. So pray for people who leave, but don't spread it as a prayer request, because you might be gossiping. You might be spreading something that you don't need to spread. Couple more and we'll be done. Next. When people leave our church, pray for me. And I'm asking that you pray for me. You say, why? It breaks my heart. And so you all know, anybody that ever leaves my church, so you understand, it virtually devastates me. My church is my life. I mean, you'll be hard-pressed to find someone at 4 o'clock in the morning that wakes up and the first thing they think of are the people. On my mind constantly. So when people leave, I don't mean I have a personal war with them, but I take it personal. You say, why? Because I somehow let them down. I didn't give them something they needed. I didn't pray enough. I didn't walk in the Spirit to the point where I picked up on that need. And I work at that. And I believe because we work at that, we see growth because we're aware. But when someone leaves our church, I've tried to get over it. I've said to myself, no, don't take that personal. But boy, I take it personal immediately. I feel empty. I feel like I failed. So if somebody leaves the church, just if you'd say a little prayer, because it is a time of brokenheartedness for me. Then, let's see, another one. I want to explain something to you, and I want you, whether you understand or not, I just want you to know it. I don't attack people who attack me. And that's because I've been taught. For instance, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:15, it says, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow after that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Now, because I don't attack people that attack me, I just want you to understand, I don't come to the pulpit to take revenge on people that leave my church. You will not find me attacking those who attack me. And I think that is a position that I'm taught to take scripturally. Now, here's what will happen every once in a while. When people know that I don't fight back, they can even throw more rocks. You say, well, preacher, come on, take a swing at him. I let God settle my scores. And he will. He's keeping total track. You have to be careful to learn to do the same. You say, well, pastor, I'm not as good a Christian as you. We're going to Fist City. You mess up your church that way. Okay, you say, pastor, I love you. I'll protect you. Thank you so very much. But never let your loyalty extend past my principles of treating people right. Did you hear what I said? Don't let your loyalty to me go beyond the principles that I believe were to live about treating people right. You say, I'll kill them. That's revenge. That's not what the Bible says. Two more and we're done. Next, don't let the devil poison you about your church. If somebody leaves poorly and you have to somehow brush up against it or you're around it, don't you let the devil poison you about your church. And that's what we were being told here where it says, it says, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself lest thou also be tempted. While you would be restoring someone, if you're not careful, you get around that evil will influence you, and now you'll find yourself in the backslidden condition. So don't let the devil poison you about your church. Then the very last thing I'll say tonight, next week we're going to talk about this some more, and that's this. Here's what I do. If I lose someone from my church, I immediately go find somebody new to love. You say, why? I had love to give that person. Now, I'll keep on loving them. My worst enemies are sincerely on my prayer list. You say, I pray for my enemies. I pray, God, I kill them. That's not what I pray. I pray that God bless my enemies. I pray that their hatred for me does not ruin their day. I don't want people consumed. Not because I'm trying to take care of me, but I hate to see them miserable because they don't like me. But listen, if I can't love them up close, then I'm going to go find somebody else to love. So here's what you do. If you say, pastor, I love our church and I believe in our church and I want our church to prosper and be blessed of God, and they left. Now, let me tell you what not to do. Don't you get so consumed that somebody left that's all you think about and that's all you want to talk about, and that just eats at you and eats at you and eats at you. You know what you do if you really love the church? Show up for soul winning the Thursday night after they leave. Help me go out and reach somebody else that needs to be born again. Let's put them in the church, and that will help the church. Spending all your time being angry that someone left does not help your church at all. So go win somebody, bring them to church, get your neighbor into church, and then you don't have to worry. You won't be as consumed with the negative of the loss. The Bible says they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. That's primarily to the lost, but I believe the principles that are being taught here could be for the saved as well. I'm going to repeat my points, and we're going to pray, and we'll be on our way in a few minutes. Remember, if somebody leaves a church, especially when they leave negatively, and I told you, there are people that leave for the right reasons. Not everybody that leaves a place is leaving for a wrong reason. But if they have left for a wrong reason, remember this, you don't know the whole story. Number two, your pastor doesn't want anyone to go. Thirdly, realize the real enemy is the devil, and they have that same enemy. Number four, don't be rude as they leave. Number five, don't spread it when they leave on bad terms. Next, when people then want to talk about it, just remind them politely, pastor said we shouldn't talk about this, and then you smile. Next, don't believe everything you hear. Next, if you have questions about someone retracting themselves, come see the pastor. Don't go around the congregation. It tends to spread bad news that shouldn't be spread. Next, pray for people who leave, but do not spread it as a prayer request. Next, pray for me, because your pastor takes it very personally when somebody from the family leaves. Then, know that I won't attack, and you need to be careful that you don't attack in my stead. Next, don't let the devil poison you about your church. And then finally, go soul winning and reach people. And when we lose someone, we'll bring someone in so that we can love them with the extra love that we have. And so, tonight is part one of how to behave when people leave our church. And again, may I say, it comes at a great time, because people are coming, not going. And to my knowledge, nobody is on their way out. And if you are, you're hiding it real well. And I'd recommend you come talk to me instead of scheme. Just come talk to me about it. As you can see, you'll be treated with dignity and kindness. You'll be loved. You won't be attacked or hurt. You say, well, I'm worried. That might be because you make most of your decisions based on how you would act if you were in charge, but you're not. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight, you've never been saved, I welcome you to the Savior. You come tonight, we'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you're a Christian, you have the privilege of being in a church where there's unity, there's peace, unification, if you will. You ought to want that. Who here tonight would say, Pastor, God has spoken to my heart tonight. I've been challenged. I've learned something. I think there are things that I needed to hear. And God, I think God's helped me tonight in something that I have heard. Would you let God see your hand? Lots of hands, sure. You may put your hand down. Let me recommend this. Don't just listen tonight. Put it in your heart. We don't need it today. We may need it next week. We may need it a year from now, a month from now. And that's when we're going to need to behave the right way. Let's not let the loss of one spoil the spirit of the other couple hundred people. We're going to have an altar call. If you need a moment, you come and you pray. And God will, I'm sure, meet with your heart. If you have a prayer need, you come. I'll ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. Ushers, we will pass out both the prayer bulletin as well as the financial statement here in a moment to any that did not get one. Your relationship with people who leave the church. I hope you listened to what was said. I can't tell you how many churches I've watched someone retract from the church and it turn into an out-and-out war that hurt the spirit of that church. Sometimes it's not what happened, it's how you react to what happened. I think in many cases it is not the event that God was watching for. It was the reaction to the event that made the big difference to God.